Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to scale up your land operation after those crucial first 10 deals. This topic, I have to tell you, I'm a little biased.
Really?
I love people who have made it to this point.
Oh, yeah.
There's no more whining. There's no more, oh my God, how do I do it? What happens?
Mm-hmm.
All the hurdles and the hard stuff's done. Mm-hmm. And now you're staring at in the mirror saying, you know what? I didn't know this could work.
Right.
And then you do a little bit of math.
10 examples showing that I did it.
And then you start doing some math saying, all I really even need to do is just 10. If I make 10 grand a transaction and I do one transaction a month, I'm going to make $120,000 this year.
Yeah.
You're staring at yourself in the mirror. That's a good moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if I can do one deal a month, I can do two.
Yeah.
Now I'm making $250,000 a year. Now I don't need a job.
Ding, ding.
That's how it starts. I love this point. This is the excitement and the whole, you know, scaling it up. What do I have to do? Just tell me what to do.
Yep. Love it.
Before we get into it, we really just did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
All right. Jeff asks, hello all. I have a question about sending offers. If you send 1,500 offers and someone with some land sends a signed one back in, are you not obligated to buy the land? Has anyone ever cried foul or more than cried in times where you go back and decide not to purchase? Thanks, Jeff.
Go ahead, Joe. We're going to say the same thing.
Totally. One of the things that we do, it's a great question. And you know what, Jeff? The answer is anybody can back out at any time. And it happens not just with land, even with houses. You could be in escrow and, you know.
It could happen at the altar.
It could happen at the altar.
You know, it turns out
people can back out.
I just don't want to get married.
And you know what? And all that happens is how much do you want to pursue and make that person? I mean, do you want to chase that person and bring legal recourse or attempt to bring legal recourse to them? No, because then it's going to cost you both money. That's really not the answer. So, but to go, let me just simplify and just make it really easy, though, what we do, because it doesn't usually get to that point, obviously. With land, one of the things that we have on our mailer is at the bottom, there's like 5 or 6 conditions there that we have put that this is contingent upon the taxes being in, you know, current or in a whatever situation, up to us, by the way. And it's dependent on it meeting our acquisition criteria.
Good marketable title.
Good marketable title.
There's 4 or 5 of them.
Exactly.
You can find an exact copy of the mailer we send out on offerstoowners.com in the forms section.
Exactly. So the bottom line is we have on there 5 or 6 things that it, that's great that you sign this back, but it's all contingent upon it meeting, passing our tests of these 5 things. And I can back out. And yeah, I could say any one of those. I could say, well, you know what? This doesn't meet my number 3 right there. And that's why. And I've never had to say that.
The last condition, I think it's number 5, and I'm paraphrasing, says, look, we reserve the right to just not buy the transaction at all.
Right.
I mean, it's not that blatant. I think it's closer to...
It's eloquent.
Yeah. It's closer to... this property has to meet our acquisition criteria in its entirety.
Right.
That's your out right there.
Exactly.
The grass is too green. I don't want to buy it. That's not my acquisition criteria.
Exactly.
They don't know what your acquisition criteria is. Actually, that's what it says. It has to meet our acquisition criteria.
Yeah. So, and there's times when I flat out don't want the property. And usually it's properties that are years from years ago that we're just not buying in that area anymore. So that's a no-brainer.
You know, there's certain kind of sections of the country that Jill and I, we won't buy property for a dollar.
Right.
And it's just because it's been too saturated.
Well, and there's some subdivisions that we were happily flipping for, you know, small dollar amounts back then.
Yeah.
And we just don't do it. It's just too small of a deal for me anymore. So
yeah,
that's a lot of it,
we
too.
We don't make $1,000 per deal any longer.
I'm not into that anymore, but somebody else is.
Sure.
So anyway, and if they do ever really, you know, get upset about it, but you said you buy it, then here's what I would come back with. Look, I looked it up and I can provide you a video and stuff if you want to see what I'm looking at too, so you know where I'm coming from. This price doesn't work for me. I went and did my homework and it just doesn't work. So I'm sorry. I know I put $4,030 on there. I can't make it work for $4,030. What I can make it work is for $2,000. So if that works for you, great, we have a deal. If it doesn't work for you, I understand, and have a nice day. And then put it on them and let them there, and then they might go, all right, fine. They may not be happy, but you know what? They got an offer, and then it's up to them. And what's funny is how many times some of them do come back.
Always.
I'll take your $2,000. And then I still, sometimes I kind of go, shoot, I really didn't want it.
You don't want to.
But it works for that.
A word of caution here, though. You do not want to be that guy who that becomes your business model, where you send a bunch of $4,000 offers out and you just, then you tell everyone, I mean 1,000.
Right. Don't make that your business. That's true. That's not how you should be doing it. But if something
come
happens.
Back, that will come back and get you.
Exactly.
What happens with houses, and we're not really supposed to talk about houses here, is a lot, very often actually, is we send a mailer out and the property is located on a really, really busy street. And they're more than, they've been trying to sell forever. And you have to back out of that. They get mad.
Yeah.
We did a last mailing, man. We had two properties in there. They were livid about the fact that we wouldn't honor it. Reducing the price. Jill and I refuse to buy property on a main thoroughway.
There's a few things you can't get past. And usually it's more than one. You know, like it's not...
For land, it's great.
That's a big one.
You always want a property that's on a main street, major street.
But you know what? So has anyone ever... Yeah, it's happened and it's not a problem. And you just apologize and move on. And they might be mad and that's just okay.
Well, what you do, and because you're part of this group now, and we do this all the time, is you go on Deal Board and say, hey, I got this property. I don't want it. Here's the name and number of the guy who's going to sell it for X. See if you want it.
You could do that. That's not a bad idea to say, hey, this doesn't meet my criteria. I'm happy to share it with my peers. If anybody's interested, you'll know. And at least that even might just make the guy feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you throw it up there and who cares? That's actually going above and beyond. I don't know if I would necessarily do that, but that is
I think
nice.
If you're in the beginning of your career,
the time.
Your turn, I think that you should take 5 seconds and post it on the Deal Board. And then the seller's going to get 10 phone calls from other people or whatever, and it's just all good. It's a good karma thing.
That's good. That's very big of you, Jack, Stephen.
Today's topic, how to scale up after those first 10 deals. This is the meat of the show. How do you get past those first 10? You're an expert at this.
Okay.
How do you get from zero to deal number 11.
Okay, so let me give a little background on what we're even talking about. I came up with this how many years
ago?
You did.
This is your baby.
Thank you. I came up with this because people are like, I'm ready to take the next step. I'm ready. I'm like, knock it off, everyone. I said,
You're not ready.
Get 10 deals under your belt.
You're still in diapers.
Then call me back. They do one and think that this is it. I got it. I'm in. I was like, you know what? I get that. Thank you. You're on your way. Let's get 10 deals. And I mean 10 deals start to finish. Bought, recorded, marketed, sold, recorded. That's all the way through. You are done with that. There's nothing else that's needed on that transaction.
If you did it right, you have some spectacular failures in the first 10.
Yes. And that's why. Because if you do one and it just... Because sometimes the first one just goes beautifully and you think this is great. And then number three goes... You know, it's returned from the county 6 times because you keep forgetting something on the deed, or you did it wrong, or some of the wrong person signed, or who knows what. Things happen. So that's why I want you to have 10 deals, start to finish, done. You've got a lot of the kinks out. You understand how the county works. You understand how the recorder works. You understand what the assessor's role is. You understand deeds now. You've done different deeds.
And you like it.
You've dealt with a bunch of different sellers. You know, you have all these things that you've figured out. And you could do this in a month, by the way. You could, however fast you want to do it. So that, to me, and then that's what you said. After you've got those 10 deals and you had to go through all that work and maybe angst and pain and fixing it and apologizing and, you know, doing things, changing things and figuring out how to deposit the money when they want to do this stuff. That happens sometimes too. They're like, this guy wants to pay me. I don't know where to put the money or how to take it. Payment. What do I do? You've got all that stuff figured out. And now you're like, okay, I have a good feel for it now after 10 deals, and I like it.
And I like it. That's
the main thing. Now, because a lot of people after 10 deals are going to go, this is not for now. Yeah, but some. This is not for me. And that's okay, too. So
that happens. People call us.
Totally.
They're like, you know, it works, but I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
That's fine, man.
It's not for you. I don't care. I don't want to do... I could go out right now and go to an auction with you, Stephen, and we could buy cars all day long.
Oh, cars.
Yeah, let's just say that. Or horses.
Oh, my God.
No. Or cattle. I mean, come on.
We could own a daycare.
We could own a daycare. Whatever.
Oh,
we could own nursing home facilities. You know, whatever it is. There's a lot of things we could be doing right now, but I just don't want to. It's not my thing. And they're very profitable. It's just not my thing. So then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I do love the nursing home business, I have to say, but go ahead.
It's too much work. Okay. So now you've got that done. Now you're ready to scale up. So I came up with four things that I thought I would share, and then you see if you have more, and then we'll talk about them.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're ready to kick up your business, man. Take it to the next
level. Deal number 11.
Yeah. And I want to go. Now I'm like,
yeah,
I'm in.
20, 30, 50,000 bucks in the bank from all this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Number one, now I want you to systemize your business. Number two, you need to create a routine for yourself. You can't be doing this part-time when you feel like it now. You're doing more than that. You need to have a routine that it might be for 2 hours every day after work and all day on Saturday or whatever it is. I don't
know. Put systems together.
And a routine.
And a routine. Go ahead.
Number three, a lot of this should be going faster now. You should automatically be getting faster, and you should have seen things that you could do quicker and better and all that good stuff. You should have identified those things. So you should be... That should be happening, number three. And number four is, this is kind of a bonus one.
Yep.
You should be looking to get help.
Oh, Jill, this is brilliant stuff.
For stuff that you're not good at or you absolutely can't stand. So maybe it's deeds, maybe it's paperwork. Maybe you know, and you should be looking at that. So those are my four. Do you have anything you want to add?
Is it my turn?
If you want, yes.
So here's what Jill's perfectly put that, all the stuff that I can roll it into one though. When you're staring at yourself in the mirror and you're happy, you're patting yourself on the back, you also should be saying, if I only had this conquered, and whatever this is, X conquered, I could send this thing to the moon. We all have it. We all have a bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was what Jill does. So my business was, it only got to a certain point because the thing for me that I didn't want to do was talk on the phone with people,
mm-hmm.
on the acquisition side or on the sell side. And I couldn't stand the paperwork part. The paperwork part you can get over real fast because there's lots of escrow people that will moonlight or do deeds for you and all that stuff. That's real, actually pretty easy. But that personality part for me, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely can do it enough to have a pretty successful talk show. Mm-hmm. I just can't stand doing it. Mm-hmm. I think it's inefficient. I should be working on other stuff.
So that's getting the help for the stuff that you're not good at, or hate, because then that probably is slowing you down.
So I think
because you probably avoid it at the end of the day, right?
That's what
happens.
It wrecks
you. You're
careers.
Like, oh, great.
I
bought all these great properties, but you know, and they're posted, but darn, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Everybody in their success is sitting in the back saying, oh, if I only didn't have to do this. I'm telling you, don't knock yourself out over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Get somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now more than ever in the history of time, because of the internet, you can find people to do these little jobs that you can't stand to do for next to nothing, mm-hmm. all over the world.
Exactly.
And if it's something as important as talking on the phone, get yourself a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Get your husband to do it, or your wife to do it, or your teenage kid, even.
Do you want to talk about real quick my number one? I want to cover them again just real quick. My systemize. What do you want to add about creating a system, please? Because this is your forte.
If you have what it takes to do 10 deals and you've got paper all over the house and notepads filled and all that stuff, that's not uncommon. Go take a class, take an organizational class, go on YouTube and figure out how to use spreadsheets, databases, and everything else. You have what it takes to send out a mailer. You're way, way ahead of the curve. I can't say it enough. If you've done 10 deals, I love where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's way easier to talk to people who've done 10 deals and want to ramp up than somebody who's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So to systematize everything, start with spreadsheets. Just get yourself some spreadsheets, organize your acquisitions and your sales, and start with spreadsheets. You shouldn't end there. And you also need to get some version of a CRM.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What about routine? You want to share on routine a little bit?
I'm a massive fan of this. So everybody asks me what my day looks like. I constantly get this question, like, what do you do every day? And I'll tell you what I do. I wake up and I look at my calendar. I usually have one planning day a month, and I plan everything out. I plan every last minute of my workday out with an extra hour at the end, because stuff always doesn't go as planned, and do that. You have to have a calendar and you have to stick to it.
Love it.
It takes all the stress out of everything, by the way. Like, what am I going to do today? Shit, I got to do this. I got to call that. Oops. I have to bleep that out.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
Number three, talk to me about faster and speed. Have you noticed that, right? Part of this is this little faster and speed thing. I was pleasantly reminded of how this goes on that Scrum book that I'm reading.
So what happens is the first acquisition that you do, you're going to talk to the person like 20 times, the seller. In the end, you should take a look at it and say, you know what? The person called me back. They're on the phone right now. Close the deal. Mm-hmm. Close the deal right there. Schedule the notary, the whole thing.
So that's good. So you're getting faster. Well, too, like you, not only, I'm thinking you personally, so you're getting faster at this point by deal 11. You know who's a good buyer because all the experience that got you to this point. So now you're faster at getting deals done.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You can pick out who's a right buyer, who's a tire kicker, and get them off the phone.
That, and you can pick out the right deals to close too.
Because,
you know, you're going to get a lot of mail back and a lot of calls back, and some of the deals you're just not going to want to do.
Yeah, you already know. No, yes,
the
yes,
the first 10
no.
that you did, hopefully, were slam dunks. Like, there's no ran to the bank situation where you couldn't fail.
But now it took you a lot of time on each one of those, especially deal number one.
Now you're going to rule some of those, some not run to the bank deals in there if you're going to ramp up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we discuss the business signs that tell you to go from part-time to full-time. This is a cool week.
I love it. I know. And we answer your questions posted on our online community, which is free. You can find it from landacademy.com or go directly there. It's landinvestors.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Yeah, I do like this week.
I think listeners would be interested to know that we actually have to get off this episode right now because Jill has to sell a fairly large piece of property right now.
I do. I have a person waiting for me to give them some instructions on payment. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes at wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.